Hello and welcome to Simply Save, Money Control's weekly personal finance podcast where we discuss all things money. I'm your host Preeti Kulkarni, and in this episode of Simply Save, we will talk about the most important financial goal for parents with young kids, creating an adequate corpus for their education, especially if they intend to study abroad. Now, financial planners often say that it is best to start saving towards this goal the moment your child is born. And now the fees at top universities in the US, UK, Australia or Canada may seem daunting, but investing regularly through the SIP route in equity mutual funds will make your task easier. Then of course you can also consider investing directly in overseas equities or through international mutual funds. To discuss various options that parents intending to create a large enough corpus for their kids' education overseas should consider, we have with us today Ila Dubey, co-founder of EduFund, an advisory firm that provides education and loan counseling besides advice on investing for children's education overseas.
Welcome to the show, Ila. It's great to have you on Simply Save on our show for the first time.
Thanks, Preeti. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks. So, Ila, could you start with, now everybody, parents are always concerned about their children's higher education and make all the efforts to save for be it education abroad or in India, and it costs quite a lot. So how soon do you think someone should start planning and investing for their kids' education corpus?
So Preeti, I think we first need to understand that education inflation is roughly around 11-12% a year in rupee terms, right? Which effectively implies that education costs double about every 6 years, right? Which is a huge amount. And to make sure one is able to effectively account for this inflation while still generating a real return, the ideal time to start would be really as soon as possible, right? Preferably when your child is born, actually. So let's just take a simple example, right? Let's assume that a master's program in India, today costs around maybe 25 lakhs at a premier school, right? And let's say after 21 years, by the time the child enrolls into that said program, we're looking at potentially a cost of 1.85 crores, right?
Okay.
So if one starts investing, let's say when the child is born, till the time he or she is 21, you'd require, let's say, an investment amount of roughly 9,000 rupees to achieve that goal, assuming your return is roughly 16%. But let's say you start that even 5 years later, right? That to achieve that same amount, you actually have to take your investment from 9,000 rupees a month to 21,000 rupees a month, right? Which is two times. So you can see that staggering difference just in a five-year time span, right? So I think systematically over investing over a period of time is absolutely imperative. And the advantage of doing that comes when your child is as young as possible.
All right. And how is this different if parents have foreign education on their mind? So how should they calculate the required corpus? Because let's say if they start investing when the child is born, they don't know the child's aptitude, what he or she might take up in future. So how do they go about ascertaining the right amount, that right corpus that they should be targeting?
Great question. So parents should really ideally start, they should begin by researching the total estimated cost of education, looking at factors like what country may I be targeting? What is that core specialization that I think my child wants to pursue or has the proclivity to pursue? And then of course the duration, right? Because 1 year versus 18 months versus 24 months will make a difference to the pocket of a parent, right? The estimate should also factor in the age of the child, at the time of education, right? So when the child will begin that education versus how old they are today, to help also factor in education inflation, right? And I think another critical thing a parent also has to remember, especially for education abroad, is it's not as simple as thinking just about the tuition fees, right? But there's also going to be a lot of ancillary costs, right? Like accommodation, for example, whether you send your child to a metro city versus a non-metro city can significantly impact that amount, right? Living expenses as part of that, and other related fees such as, you know, insurance, sometimes books can stack up, or just simply having to survive in a foreign company, or excuse me, foreign country. So all these factors have to be looked at, you know, holistically. Then based off of those components, right? So am I sending my child to, for example, the United States, which is known to have a high cost of education, versus another country, maybe Australia, for example, right? Where they're not directly at parity in terms of cost. So depending on the country, depending on the degree, and also these ancillary costs, parents should calculate that corpus, which is adjusted for inflation, and then decide how much they can afford to save annually, right? And then, of course, if you're considering taking a loan, or the child will take a loan, they should also be very pragmatic in estimating the loan amount they may need to repay post-graduation. And then, of course, the likelihood that this child can also get a scholarship. So I think this comprehensive thought process for an education abroad is very important, because a lot of these fees that are unknown initially can stack up, especially in a foreign country.
All right. Now coming to how they should go about achieving their goal. So which are the instruments that they should look at if, let's say, the goal is 10 to 15 years away?
So if it's a financial goal that's 10 to 15 years away, investing in equities is advantageous due to the potential for higher returns compared to other asset classes. So equities typically outperform bonds and savings accounts over the long term, especially when it comes to beating education inflation and achieving substantial capital growth, right? So parents definitely, I think, need to wake up to this idea that education inflation outside of household inflation is a big deal and something they need to account for, and accordingly look at asset classes relative to that, which is why I think equities is a potentially great choice, right? I would also say historically over the long run, Indian equities have given about 12 to 13% of annualized returns, making them really ideal for long-term goals such as funding education and even planning retirement, right? I would say for the common person, mutual funds present an effective way to invest in equities, right? And these mutual funds can offer diversification. You know, they could reduce one's risk if you spread investments across a wide range of assets. Mutual funds in India specifically are, a majority of them are actively managed, which means that they're managed by professional fund managers, which is unlike, you know, a country like the United States where everything is still largely passive. But a lot of Indians, I'd say, enjoy that risk reduction factor that there's a fund manager who is managing their capital, and typically they're adept at, you know, navigating market fluctuations and optimizing investment strategies. Likewise, you know, mutual funds allow for SIPs, this auto debit feature, which enables investors to commit to a fixed amount regularly. So if you're a parent and let's say you're investing, the example that we had taken earlier was 9,000 rupees a month, right? You know that each month that this is going to get cut from your account so that it's on autopilot. You don't have to think about it too much, and it's going towards a goal for your child's future, right? So this really helps to instill financial discipline, and I would say it's beneficial for accumulating a significant corpus over time.
Okay, so you think lay individuals should probably prefer equity mutual funds, diversified equity mutual funds, over investing in direct equities, especially if they are not financially savvy or don't have enough knowledge about investing in stocks directly, right?
Yes, for a goal such as education, yes, I think for a lay person who is new to the world of investments, mutual funds would be a potentially wise choice to kind of dip your feet into the water. Of course, one's financial maturity grows over time, and if they want to explore direct equity investments and they're adept at doing so, they can, but there's also a potential risk a parent needs to understand and an amount of oversight that they would have to have, I think, while dealing with direct equities, right? So it's always important, in our view, at EduFund's view, to look at the goal that you are planning for, right? And accordingly, selecting the right asset class for that goal. For us and me in particular, I think for education, which is a long-term investment, mutual funds are a potentially very wise choice.
Right. So equity mutual funds for long-term investments. But what if, let's say, the goal is much closer? Let's say it's just about 5 years away, 3 years away, or 5 years away. Then what are the kind of instruments they should be looking at? Because at that point in time, the primary concern would be to ensure that the corpus is secure, right? Safe and secure.
Absolutely. Fantastic question. So if you're, let's say, 5 years away from sending your child to their undergraduate degree or even master's, right, you probably don't want to take on risk as aggressively while investing, which is completely fair. Therefore, pure equity funds may not be suitable for such an objective. For a time horizon, let's say 5 years away, one can consider a hybrid fund. Investing in both equity and debt could be a good option, where the equity component will offer the return potential, but the debt component would take care of stability, which is also important when your goal is so close by. Aggressive hybrid or balanced advantage funds or a combination thereof could also be a good option, depending on the risk appetite of the investor, right? So that is also a big component that we have to take into account outside of just the time horizon. But what is the risk palette of the individual? But I would say that these are still fair choices if your goal is 5 years away.
All right. And should they look at irrespective of their investment horizon or the goal horizon, should they look at investing in overseas direct equities, international mutual funds, and ETFs?
I think yes, especially for a parent that's looking at education abroad for their child, right? So investing in international equities, for example, offers geography-wise diversification and also acts as a hedge against rupee depreciation. In the case of a parent who is planning for a degree abroad for their child in the US, right, or in the UK, they really seriously have to consider the element of rupee depreciation by they're earning in their local currency, right, in rupees, but they're having to spend in pounds or dollars. Therefore, investing in foreign equities would be probably more appropriate if you are that use case of a parent that wants to make any payment in a foreign currency where you have to balance for exchange rate risk, right? That automatically becomes mitigated in some way. Therefore, you can look at U.S. equities, you can look at, you know, ETFs. For example, I would say in the case of foreign investments, right, if you're thinking of investing abroad, U.S. equities are probably one of the most preferred options, as the U.S. dollar is consistently been one of the most stable global currencies, right? The U.S. markets are also highly, highly developed, and you can get exposure to, you know, FANG stocks, the largest companies in the world, Alphabet, Meta, Apple, Microsoft. Of course, one also needs to consider there is a tax angle in investing in foreign equities. So that, you know, something that one would probably have to consult. But I would say overall, for a parent that is looking to send their child abroad, I remember my team and I had calculated this one, if you plan on sending your child abroad to the United States for an undergraduate degree, let's say, over a 17-year period, if you control for the cost of tuition, which means the cost of tuition doesn't increase, and let's say is stabilized, I believe the example was $45,000, over a 17-year period, Preeti, a parent ends up paying 60% more because of rupee depreciation, And that's assuming that the cost of this education doesn't go up, which we know it's not, right? Because in dollar terms, you know, education inflation is around 2.5% to 3%. So that number is staggering, right? So to have some diversification and help mitigate that foreign exchange risk, I think, you know, one definitely can seriously consider overseas direct equity.
All right. And finally, although you did touch upon this earlier, could you elaborate a little on options for parents or students if they happen to fall short? For example, can they, what are the other options, loans, scholarships? Could you elaborate a little on these two options as well?
Absolutely. So I think it's very, it is realistic that a parent may fall short of their saving or investing goal, no matter how disciplined they are. Because as we know, education, the costs of education are increasing quite rapidly, right? So in circumstances where you have a shortfall, you can probably take an education loan, right? There are many options. The education loan market in India for Indian universities has grown. The education loan market for education abroad has also grown significantly. There are lenders in India that can help you find an education loan abroad. There are foreign lenders that can help you find education loans for options abroad. So absolutely, there are solutions that exist so that you don't have to compromise on your dreams or the dreams of your child if you don't have an adequate amount of capital. Likewise, there are scholarships available. In some circumstances, the universities would grant you scholarships directly based off of merit, based off of need. There are also private scholarship options available that students and their families can apply for. So there's a way to manage this if you don't have an adequate amount of investments, right? Ideally, though, the parents and family should be pragmatic enough that, in my view, you have 65 to 70% of that corpus covered through an investment. And then if there's a shortfall, you can depend on a loan, right? Because the one advantage you also have by starting and investing early, if you need a loan tomorrow, is you have that mutual fund or you have that investment as a security, as a collateral against the loan, right? But there are options, definitely, whereby a student and family can, you know, come together and say, hey, I'm funding this through a combination of investments, a bit of a loan, and a bit of a scholarship.
All right, Ila, thanks a lot for all the insights. I'm sure our listeners will find all the information that you've shared very useful. Thanks a lot for taking time out to be on our show today. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Preeti.
And with that, it's a wrap on this edition of Simply Save. For more news, views, and updates, do stay logged on to moneycontrol.com.